After years on the road, Timmy parked the van and picked up the mic to bring you this podcast that features interviews with people from hardcore to hair metal. This is Talk To Me with your host, Joshua Toomey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Talk To Me, episode 38. On this episode, I speak to Tom Hazart, the director of operations and A&R at EMP Label Group, and he also worked with every single one of your favorite bands. And this interview is an amazing interview. Had a great time chatting with Tom the other day. So let's do some business and get on with our show. Talk To Me is brought to you this week by PuckHockey.com, and that's PuckHockey.com. Such a great brand over there. They are a boutique brand. None of the apparel is mass-produced. In fact, they don't aspire to be the next Reebok or CCM or Nike or Under Armour or whatever nonsense you're wearing now. They want to ensure that you are getting a truly special and unique product that has been personally approved by the athletes, musicians, and artists themselves. They work with pro hockey players. The hockey playoffs are going on right now, so make sure you've got your Puck Hockey gear ready for your playoff run, for the Nashville Predators playoff run, and we're going to go deep this year. Also, the musicians, you've got Bumblefoot, you've got Dave Ellefson, you've got the First Jason, you got all kinds of good stuff over there in their Thrashers and Slashers line. Also, they love adding little extras like custom labeling, one-of-a-kind zipper pulls, cool stickers, etc. When I got my care package of 36 Crazy Fist stuff, it was so cool. I got some stickers, I got some awesome t-shirts, I got a lot of great stuff. I've been wearing the hell out of it. It is so comfortable. I love Puck Hockey. So happy that they are on board with the Talk To Me podcast. And their goal is to engage you in total hockeydom. And they look forward to pushing the boundaries and exceeding your expectations of what a hockey brand can be. So yes, get on over to PuckHockey.com, and that's PuckHockey.com. Also, if you want to Talk To Me t-shirt, head on over to Amazon.com, search out the Talk To Me podcast, get yourself a Talk To Me t-shirt. Like I say, each and every week, get a Talk To Me t-shirt. It helps out the podcast. All the money made from the t-shirts go back into the podcast, production costs, miscellaneous equipment costs, things like that. So I appreciate it. And every time you go over to Amazon.com, purchase yourself a Talk To Me t-shirt. They write me a nice little check, and I am truly grateful.
Hey everybody, this is David Allison from Megadeth, and you're listening to the Talk To Me podcast.
All right, guys, let's do some shout-outs for sharing. We do shout-outs for sharing on the podcast each and every week. So here are the shout-outs for sharing the Dave Ellefson of Megadeth episode of the Talk To Me podcast. We've got Andy Hott and Zero King. Thank you guys for sharing the podcast. And if you're in the Louisville area, April 16th, they are playing at Jillian's, so make sure and go check them out. Scott Peterson, Chris Sinzak of the Decibel Geek podcast share the podcast. Thank you so much, and totally ripped off your idea. You get a shout out for sharing, and you also get a shout out for inspiring me to do shout outs on the podcast. The wonderful Chris Arkin shared the podcast. We've got THC Music, EMP Label Group, Tabitha Toomey, Rock and Growl Productions, Scott Sullivan. They all shared the podcast on Facebook, and then we'll head over to Twitter. We're at Steak and Titties. Share the podcast. Thank you guys so much. Damian Rodriguez, Hydrate Level 4 podcast, just recorded with them. I believe my episode will be out on April 28th. We go over the movie Rad, which was rad, and we'll let you guys know when that podcast comes out, and you guys will be checking me out talking about the movie Rad for a good hour or so. So fun times over there on Hydrate Level 4. Thank you guys for sharing the podcast, and Shoot the Shred podcast and the host Eric Hall also retweeted the podcast. Thanks to everyone out there who has shared the podcast on Facebook, retweeted the podcast on Twitter, and let everyone out there know about the Talk To Me podcast. And if you would like to be mentioned and get a shout out on the next episode of the Talk To Me podcast, when you see this podcast show up in your feed, make sure to hit that share button, make sure to hit that retweet button, and then also let me know that you are sharing the podcast, because I know people are sharing it, and due to privacy settings on Facebook, I am not able to see everyone that shares the podcast. So if you're consistently sharing the podcast and I am not giving you a shout out, please let me know and I will give you a shout out on the next episode of the Talk To Me podcast. All right, guys, and with that being said, we're going to get to the guest of honor this week. I speak to Tom Hazart of the EMP Label Group. He's the director of operations and A&R over there. He's the director of operations at Stylus Rex, and he's also the anarchy director at Los Anarchy Radio. He's got a lot of great stories on here. We talk a lot about Corey Taylor and Limp Bizkit. We talk about, you know, obviously Slipknot. We talk about Dave Ellefson and Coffee, and we talk about the Clerks cartoons, and we, you know, we go on to a lot of rants and tirades, and this has probably been one of the most fun interviews I've done. We talk about a lot of stuff. It's definitely not your typical, you know, how did you get started in the music business, and where did you get all your inspiration from? It's just two dudes talking, and I think you guys are going to thoroughly enjoy this as much as I did making it. When I listened back to it, I was cracking up. So hopefully you guys are in on the joke with us. And so we're going to start out today's episode with some Green Death. This is an EMP label group artist, and hopefully you guys will go over there and check it out. This song is called Devil's Night.
Gray with Fozzy and Cyberstar, and you are listening to the Talk to Me podcast.
Oh, dude, look at your Clerks the Animated Series lunchbox. Very nice.
You like that?
I do. I have that same Back to the Future, the figure behind you, and I had the same lunchbox. I lost it, though, man. The Clerks Animated Series. The first time I ever watched that? Yeah, let's just wait.
How was that you?
Yeah, let's just wait. I'm going to go close my Facebook so we're not getting messed. I go, boing, 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 boing. Yeah, like I said, I was for some reason I was thinking we're doing this at 11:45. I don't know where I even got that from. That's not even an accepted time. All right, so now we can start. Now we can talk about your Clerks Animated Series lunchbox.
Right. Yeah, I actually love the Clerks Animated Series. It's so fucking funny.
Me too. The first time I watched it is the best fucking story, too. Like, me and Corey Taylor was at my house in L.A., and we went and bought it on VHS and went to my house and sat and watched the whole fucking series. And, man, I've seen it probably 9 million times. I used to hang out with Muse a lot, too, around that time. That was when he had his living in L.A. phase, and, man, but, yeah. Why are we walking like this? Let's just quote the Clerks Animated Series for an hour.
I think that's all this podcast needs. Actually, we could just play the Clerks Animated Series, and then we could just do like a commentary along with it if you want.
Can we do that? I was just talking to my publicist and telling her, you know, I was doing this today. I said, we are going to set a record for the most unlistened to podcast episode ever.
Oh, yeah, I've got a couple of listeners. Don't worry.
Right, I was just saying because of me. I was just
all right.
Your choice of guest. None of your listeners would listen because who the fuck cares what I have to say.
I don't know, man. Looking back on your history, it's pretty impressive all the bands that you've gotten to work with.
Yeah, I guess that and 50 cents will buy me a cup of coffee.
That's right. All the stories that I have and 50 cents gets me a cup of coffee. So, I totally understand that.
Funny enough, I sell coffee now. I've gotten actually dragged into a coffee company with David Ellison, so I'm a coffee merchant now, believe it or not. I'm like the Dutch East India Trading Company. I sell coffee and rock and roll and...
That's great. So, actually, we'll just jump in on the coffee real quick. So, what was the what's the history behind the Roast in Peace coffee?
Well, Ellison called me one day, and funny enough, I remember I was in an adult bookstore, and Ellison called me, and I'm wandering around this store talking to Ellison. He goes, "Hey, man, so this guy just hits me up, and he wants to do, I'm gonna do a coffee line." And I said, "That's great." And we were talking. I said, "Dude, you know what we should call it? Roast in Peace." He goes, "Dude, that's fucking great." And we did, man. You know, a week later, we got the labels done. And it gets funny enough, it's a guitar player between the Buried and me, Paul Wagner, who actually owned Parliament Roasters, the company that actually, but it's a really premium, really high-end single-sourced beans from, you know, the first blend we did was a Brazilian blend. And you know, the beans are traced, you know, it's super fancy, high-tech coffee. Beans can trace to their origin, the single origin in Brazil. But, you know, it's really, really good high-end coffee. And yeah, we have our first, you know, the orders are actually, we just turned in our first set of orders, and we're selling a ton of it. And it's funny, man, you just don't know what's going to work or, you know. But, yeah, so Dave had this cool idea. We were going to do coffee, and we did it, and it's flying off the shelves, man. And, you know what, I guess Revolver's doing a thing about it in the new issue in the gear section, and Alice Cooper talked about it on his radio show, and it's just this huge crazy snowball effect, you know. That it's funny now that me and Dave work together. I don't know how much you know or your listeners know, but I have a label with David Ellison from Megadeth called EMP Label Group, and we have a management company together, and we have the coffee company and all these other things that we do together, and it's just so funny how they just keep snowballing, and I keep getting dragged into all of Ellison's other weird harebrained ventures like the coffee company. But Dave's been sober for 30 years. I mean, his thing is coffee. Like, every time I talk to him, he's on tour with Megadeth. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just going to grab a Starbucks. Like, everywhere. Like, the man, you know, the man lives on Starbucks. Like, that's his thing. So that's why it's cool, man. Everybody else has got, you know, liquor brands and all this other stuff. So coffee was such a natural fit for Dave because he's such a coffee aficionado. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I just picture you and Dave down in Brazil on donkeys, you know, checking out the plantation.
Like fucking Juan Valdez. And this is my coffee. It is a very fine. Dude, this is how we'll get people to listen. I'll just talk about Dave Ellison the whole
right.
So, like, fuck. All right, now I'm interesting. All right. What other Dave Ellison questions you got? I know everything about the guy. You want to talk about Megadeth? It was so funny. Me and him did a radio interview the other day. He was out here last week in the Midwest for a couple of days. Me and him went and did some kind of tandem radio interviews. And it was funny because on my radio show, AMPM on Los Anarchy, I have a segment called Mandatory Megadeth at the beginning of my show where it's just Dave talking about the classic Megadeth songs and the stories behind them. And I've just talked to David so much, and I'm kind of his publicist. I set up a lot of his, you know, interviews and stuff. And, you know, so it's like I just – it's funny, we were in there and asked him a question. I asked him about Peace Sells, and it's so funny because I was, like, in my head, like, saying everything he was saying before he said it. Like, I know all of David's stories, and it's just right. Funny because I've heard them all. So, it's an honor, man. I mean, Megadeth has been my favorite. Sorry, I'm taking my diabetes medicine so I don't die while we're talking. But
that would get ratings right there.
Right, no shit.
Dies on the Talk to Me podcast.
Tom Hazard finally fucking dies on the Talk to Me podcast. Well, the haters would have a field day with that one. But, yeah. Shit, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Dave, yeah, I just know all of his stories, man. It's like, but, yeah, you know, Megadeth has been literally one of my favorite bands since I was 12 years old.
Mine too, absolutely. Yeah.
I told him a funny story about how I got caught shoplifting So Far, So Good, So What when I was 12 years old on cassette.
And now here you are, years later, working with him.
I know, right?
Yeah, the first time, actually, I always go back and kind of try to figure out where I've met people and stuff. And obviously with the Dave Ellefson stuff, you know, you've graciously helped me set up an interview with him later today. So
I did.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I was kind of going back and trying to remember certain things in my past. And one of them was in like 95, they did a Megadeth Feed the Children drive. And you could bring 10 pounds of food to the Second Harvest Food Bank there in Nashville, Tennessee. And you would get a backstage pass to meet the band. So it was Megadeth Feed the Children drive. So that's how I first met him when I was a kid.
Well, it's so funny. When me and him talk, like, he reminds me of all this other shit I forgot about. Like, we were talking one day, and he brought up Megadeth had the first website, like, for a band, Megadeth Arizona. You remember that? He brought that up to me. Like, wow. Holy shit, I totally forgot about that. You know, like, it's just all this. And I don't realize how ingrained Megadeth has been in my life until, like, I hang out with Dave and I talk to him. It's like, I mean, seriously, it's fucking crazy, man. Like, I, you know, I got P-Cells when I was like 10-11 years old, man. And I used to, when I was 11 years old, I used to go to the exclusive company in Green Bay and buy bootleg. Remember when stores, I don't know if you remember, but some stores used to like these bootleg like band shirts that didn't actually have the band logo. It was like, and I remember going there and buying bootleg Vic Rattlehead shirts and so it's cool, man. I mean, you know, I got to go see them last week in Chicago. I mean, and Dave's literally become one of my best friends, and he's the greatest guy on earth, man. He's the greatest guy to work with and for, and our company's great, and we just have such a, you know, it's just been so great signing all these bands, and it's really like we're doing a lot for a lot of bands, man. And I didn't, you know, really set out to do it. It just kind of, I didn't think, holy shit, I'm going to start a new record label in 2015. Like, who does that? You know, it's like, right. It's like, I might as well have started a newspaper or a Blockbuster video. Like, I'm going to open a video rental store. Like, it's probably about on par with that. But, you know, we've had, you know, there was a market for it, man, especially with my history with running labels and David's history of being fucking David Ellefson. You know, it's like, you know, when we combined, it really was just a strong combination that people react to, you know, because of my history running Corporate Punishment and THC and working for all the major labels before that and Total Assault and all the marketing shit I did and the management stuff. I mean, it really, we're like the fucking Wonder Twins, man. We're like Batman and Robin, except we're both Batman. You know?
the two Batmans. <That's>... So just running the labels and stuff, actually, you know, obviously, we met through Primer 55 years ago. I, you know, had a great talk with you. I'm almost positive we talked about, you know, going and checking out Lambeau Field while I was in Green Bay and, you know, just talking about a lot of the different things in Green Bay. But obviously we met through Primer and just kind of researching and stuff. I see that you actually worked with Primer. It looks like you worked with them pre-me and then you worked with them post-me.
Yeah, you know, so. I put out a record for them on THC and then, through, you know, Rocket Science, which was a shit company that I was involved with for a couple of years with the, you know, a guy who's not a very savory guy and, you know, but whatever. Yeah, I did. You know, I did. I worked with them a little bit and they're friends and, you know, I put out a record for them. It was kind of a demos from Introduction to Mayhem record, you know, from their, yeah. It was basically like the demo version of that record. And it was really cool. I mean, it didn't really do a whole lot, you know what I mean? But it was an awesome record and I was proud as shit to do it. And, you know, so God bless.
Yeah. Listening back to those demos, it's so much heavier than the first album too. It's, you know, most bands are like that. Most bands always, you know, their demos are way heavier, but
it was
cool to hear some of those songs.
You know, I wish it would have sold a little better and done a little more, but it was what it was. You know what I mean? It was never really, I don't think ever destined to be a huge record. I mean, the people that bought it, I think really liked it. The packaging was cool. It was a cool looking record. You know, I didn't even end up with any of them. I feel bad. I was supposed to send some to Bobby and then the fucking scumbag that I that distributed the label stole all the copies, so I never even had them to fucking send to him. So sorry, Bob, but wasn't me.
Good old Bobby.
Right. And then
When you were talking about hearing David, you know, with all of his almost stock answering questions, I've been around Bobby so many times, and people would ask him the same question over and over, and I feel like I could just grab the mic and be like, "Well, this is what Bobby thinks about this."
Right. I good. Like when we're doing that interview, I can literally like I could do David Ellison's interviews now. It's funny. I do speak on his behalf often though, so and it's funny. That's the thing, man. That David, it's crazy because David just like the level of trust we built, and it means so much. Like he entrusts me to such a big piece of his legacy, and like I kind of, you know, I run EMP and I sign all the bands and I do all the stuff, and I just go to David and go, hey, we're gonna do this, cool. Hey, we're gonna sign this band, cool. And he's so cool and excited about everything, but it does, man. I mean, it means so much that something like that, like, you know, entrust me with such a big chunk of his legacy and his brand. And I mean, it's really, you know, I take it very seriously, and, you know, but we, I think we've done great things with the man. I think we've really taken, you know, the Ellefson name and just really done some powerhouse fucking shit with it, you know, and it's cool. I mean, honestly, I bet, you know, my favorite bands ever are basically Guns N' Roses, Def Leppard, Megadeth, Faith No More. Right now I manage Chuck Mosley. I just signed him to THC. We're putting out his record in August. He's going out on tour, doing a little acoustic solo tour called Reintroduce Yourself. And, you know, so right now I work with the original singer of Faith No More. I have another label with Bumblefoot, the guitar player of Guns N' Roses for 8 years, and then I work with Ellefson. You know what I mean? It's like, and I worked with Phil Collins from Def Leppard for a few years. So literally, I have worked with somebody from every one of my, like, favorite bands since I was a kid. It's kind of fucking nuts.
Just kind of going through your history and just kind of, you know, just a quick answer, however you want to answer this one. But, you know, what's one band that you kind of helped, you know, helped their career that you just feel the most proud about?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I've been peripherally involved in so many things, man. You know what I mean? And a lot of that stuff people don't even really know. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Papa Roach, I helped them get signed. I did A&R for Jive for a long time. And, you know, I tried signing Papa Roach to Jive. I brought them Nonpoint. I brought them Stained. I brought them so many bands that they passed on that ended up, I think I might have even brought them the Linkin Park fucking demos, you know, the Hybrid Theory stuff. Like, yeah. I brought them so much stuff that they passed on, you know, Nonpoint, I think I brought them. Like, all this stuff I brought them that they passed on. You know, Papa Roach was one that really killed me, man. I mean, my boss, Michael Tedesco, asked me straight out. He said, this is the one band. This was, you know, kind of the second nu metal tier of the Relative Ashes. And Michael Deska said, this is the one band out of all of these bands that is going to do bigger than all of them. I said, absolutely. And I was right. And they were. And they passed on them. So I helped them set up showcases in L.A. And eventually they got signed to DreamWorks. And, you know, I got a big thank you in their first record. And, yeah, that's...
Yeah, that and 50 cents, right?
Exactly. The fucking didn't even give me a, you know, I was so pissed. They didn't even give me a platinum record. Like, really? You can't spend $200 and give me a platinum record, you fucking asshole? I used to, when Buckner was still in the band, I used to bust his balls relentlessly about that, you know. But dude, you know, I worked with, you know, Chimera, and I'm proud of everything they did. And, you know, Switch to, dude, there was 1 year on when I had like three bands on Ozfest, you know what I mean? Wow. I think Depthwash, Switched, and Chimera were all on Ozfest. You know, it's like, yeah, there's been a lot of cool stuff I've worked with, man. I mean, now, I mean, honestly, I'm probably the most proud now of the work I'm doing with EMP and all this stuff. But, you know, I've worked with a lot of bands, man. And, you know, I was involved, you know, early on. I worked for Immortal, and I did stuff with Korn and Incubus. And you know, I was in the studio with Incubus when they were making Make Yourself. And Jared Leto was in the next studio making the first 30 Seconds to Mars record that they worked on for like 7 years, you know. Around and involved in so many crazy, you know, I was at the first Five Finger Death Punch show ever, you know, and Motor Grader played too, and everybody left. It was in the middle of nowhere in Sedalia, Missouri, and everybody ditched Ivan and left him there, so I had to drive him back to St. Louis to catch his flight, and then me and him went to the strip club that night, and you know, it's just so weird to have been like in this weird little cruxes of music history, you know, like that, you know.
Yeah, it's fun. I've played in Primer, but I've also been around in kind of like that Forrest Gump of metal type thing, where, you know, you're always in the room and you're always just around it, and, you know, throughout the years with, you know, being hanging around and just being privy to things with Pantera and, you know, actually, you know, the Megadeth stuff and, you know, running into Metallica here and there. Like, there's just been a lot of crazy stories that, you know, that eventually seep out on the podcast. You know, I've got a funny David Ellefson story with Megadeth that he doesn't even know anything about. But when Megadeth and Slayer came through Louisville, and I, you know, I had no money, and I'm like, man, I really want to go see them. You know, that's when they were doing Rust in Peace in its entirety.
Oh, and I never saw that.
You know, yeah, Slayer's doing Seasons in the Abyss in its entirety. Two of my favorite records of all time. I was like, I'm not missing this. And so I just went up to Will Call and was just like, yeah, I'm on Megadeth's guest list. And they're like, oh, we don't see you on here. And I'm like, I gave him some bullshit story. And he's like, well, have their management call us real quick and we'll let you in. So I was like, okay, give me the number. And I walked away from it and called a buddy of mine. I was like, hey, call this number and say you're a Megadeth's manager and that I should be on the list. And they called and he's like, all right, well, where would you like to sit? And I was like, oh, just, you know, get me in the building. So.
That's great, man. Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive.
Yeah, so talking's always been fun. So, yeah. Hey, there's one band on your resume that talking is one of my strong points, right? Guilty Pleasures. There we go. Guilty Pleasures. You know, you helped out Limp Bizkit early on. Okay. You know, how was working with those guys?
I don't know. It was fine until Fred became kind of a fucking pompous asshole. I mean, you know, like, I mean, you know, and it's funny. And I actually told this story on my show. Fuck, I had this thing on my show called Tom Hazard's True Hollywood Stories, and I made a really humorous, you know, like, Limp Bizkit was cool. I mean, I'm still, you know, I actually put out Wes's Black Light Burns record a couple years ago. I still have a pretty good relationship with some of those guys. You know, me and Fred, you know, basically after Faith blew up and they were, you know, his head just went, you know, as happens, you know, and we had a falling out over something ridiculous. Like, I was at his house and his dog ran out the door, and it was just the stupidest fucking thing. And I'll send you the thing, you'll laugh your ass off that I did. But, you know, and it was cool. It was one of those things, just seeing something just go from nothing. You know, I was at some of their first shows when they toured with Korn and, you know, and Delinquent Habits. And, you know, I'm in the first Limp Bizkit video. I mean, yeah. You know, it's like it's a part of history, man. You know, I actually helped get all the extras for that video. They're all my friends. They're all kids from my street team. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and that, you know, the Angel Son video. Like, I've just been involved in these crazy little moments in music history that make you go, holy shit, you know?
Yeah, it's so crazy. I remember I had this band out in Nashville. We opened for Limp Bizkit in, like, 97. And Fred came up to us afterwards and gave us this whole spiel about, hey, you guys should come to Florida and record in my studio and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I knew who he was, but I didn't know who he was, you know, and he wasn't who he was.
Probably wasn't anybody yet.
Yeah, he wasn't anybody yet. And, you know, we're like, yeah, that's cool, whatever, you know, take, you know, we'll think about it kind of stuff. And then years later, I read an article with Stained, and Stained is like, yeah, we opened for Limp Bizkit, and Fred came up to us and was like, hey, you should come down to Florida and record with us. And I'm like, motherfucker, man.
I know. That is exactly what happened, too. They were open. But it's funny, because at first, Fred, like, flipped out because they had, like, something stupid, like, pentagram or something on their original demo cover. I don't remember what it was anymore, but it was, you know.
Yeah, that original demo cover of Stain. I mean, I, you know, not that I would ever kick him off a bill, but yeah, that was a pretty satanic cover for, you know, what Stain would become.
Yeah, you know, Stain too. You know, it's like I was around. You know, I saw them play. You know, dude, I saw Stained open for Kid Rock at the Roxy. I saw them play at like some church in Santa Barbara for like 10 people. Like, even them, like, the way they blew up, like, it was so crazy to see the beginnings. You know, I used to hand up flyers with Linkin Park in front of clubs in L.A., you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, but the flyer, I've said this many times on the podcast, if I actually went to a show and saw a kid handing out flyers, I might just give him $20 just for the cause, you know, and like, I'd love to see somebody handing out flyers again.
Well, you know what's funny is, man, I'm telling you, I'm bringing that back. Like, I've been saying that for years, like, the actual physical handing shit out. Like, remember, you couldn't go to a show without being barraged by 90 people. Right. And, you know, I admit, I kind of take responsibility for some of that, you know what I mean? But I'm telling you, we're bringing it back, man. We're going to bring back hand-to-hand flyering and hand. Yeah, the internet is just so out of control. Everybody's fighting for the same eyeballs on the internet, and everybody's, you know, nobody really does any, you know. When was the last time somebody handed you something? Like, if somebody handed you something at a show now, you'd probably be stoked if it was cool.
Right. You know? Or at least I'm going to check it out. You know, I'll definitely take a look at it and take a listen and, you know, pull it up on my phone or whatever I need to do to hear it, yeah.
Like, this is old school right here. But, yeah, man, it's just so crazy. Like, all of those, you know, all of that, you know. In L.A. was so – I'm blessed, too, that I got to be a part of the last great – LA rock resurgence and really kind of the last national rock resurgence, man. I mean, all that stuff, you know, System and all the, you know, and Spine Shank and Cold Chamber and, you know, Seven Dust. I mean, that was really like the last great movement in American rock and roll and metal that really gotten national exposure, man. After that, I say it all the time, it's like a giant building that the top half of the building is just closed forever. You know, you can't get to it anymore. The bands that had the key to the elevator can still go up there. Everybody else is closed, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah, the last time I was in L.A. was with Primer. We did a tour in 07, and it was just a complete disaster from start to finish. But we got to L.A. We actually had a day off in L.A. We didn't play. We were just stopping by. I think Bobby had some meetings he needed to go to. And I ended up just, like, the only day off I'd had in, you know, a week and a half, and I ended up just doing my laundry, like, in a laundromat in L.A., like, being, you know, Mr. Rockstar, like, yeah, we're in L.A., what are you doing? Laundry.
Right. I need clean underwear. I mean, tell you what, right, man, sometimes a pair of clean underwear is better than any, you know, social activity you can muster.
Dude, a fresh pack of underwear is, like, a fresh pack of underwear and a fresh pack of socks is almost better than most things in life.
It really is, man. It really is. You can't go wrong.
Especially when you're out on tour. Yeah, if you get that stop at Walmart or Target, you know, buy yourself a pack of underwear and you'll just make your week.
No, yeah, I can't buy my underwear at Walmart. I'm fat. I got to go buy them at a special fat guy store. So it's all right, man. I got to drive 40 miles now. They used to have a fat guy store here and they closed it. Now I got to drive 40 miles to buy underwear. So it's hard times in Wisconsin, let me tell you.
Old Wisconsin.
Fuck, I don't know how good it is. It's old, that's for sure.
So how did you get involved with the puck hockey guys, gals? Actually, gals, I would say, right?
Well, it's both. There's two people that run the company, Matt and Amy, and they're both awesome. Honestly, I just got involved. I saw the stuff they were doing, and it was funny. I do some stuff with Greg Hetson from Bad Religion and the Circle Jerks, too, and, you know, we're both huge hockey fans. And, you know, I saw the 36 Crazy for stuff they were doing, all the other stuff they were doing with, you know, Marian Hossa and Hampus Lindholm and, you know, Freddie Anderson, and, you know. And, you know, I just reached out originally. I said, hey, you know, would you guys be interested in doing something with Hetson? You know, funny enough, we were originally, Hetson was supposed to be the line that I was supposed to do with them, and then we started talking. I'm like, well, I work with Ellison, too, and he's a hockey fan. I work with Bumblefoot, and he's a hockey fan, and I'm a hockey, so we ended up just doing, I have my own line through Puck Hockey. Bumblefoot has a line, Ellison has a line. I did another line with them with my friend Ari Lehman, who played Jason in the original Friday the 13th, and that's, you know, I kind of came up with that whole line, too, the whole Slashers line, which is all kind of sort of Jason-themed hockey stuff, which came out really, really, really cool. And, you know, I just kind of got involved with them through that, you know, by accident. And now I serve a little role in that company with kind of being the music A&R guy and coming up with a lot of the concepts for the, you know, the Thrashers and Slashers line that they did. And, you know, it's, you know, it was kind of born out of, you know, my concept and their awesomeness. And it's, yeah, it's really, it seems like it's done some cool stuff, man. People are really interested in it and we're selling stuff. And I see people in Tom Hazard sweatshirts and I'm like, that's pretty cool, man. I went to a Dollskin show in Madison the other day and a dude was wearing a Tom Hazard sweatshirt. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, when I almost similar, I guess, to what you were talking about, but, you know, just seeing their stuff with the 36 Crazy Fists and all the hockey stuff they did, and, you know, I was really loving what they did. And then when you you know, had said something about it and, you know, having them maybe come on the Talk to Me podcast as a sponsor, I was just completely on board because it's one of my favorite companies out there right now.
Well, that's gross. See, isn't it funny how that shit works out?
It is such a small world. It's ridiculous.
Dude, I'm like Kevin Bacon. I'm like the Kevin Bacon of rock and roll, except I was not in Footloose.
Not yet. You'll be in Footloose.
I'll be in the third reboot of Footloose.
It'll just be you.
Fat Loose. So,
you know, she may choke to death out here with my water.
Let's more about your Clerks animated series Lunchbox. I was really down with this idea of just watching the Clerks animated series. Leonardo. Have you been to the Quick Stop? Have you done the New Jersey pilgrimage?
I have not. I've yet to make it up there for that. Always talked about it, but never done it.
Man, I've done it like 5 times. I'll tell you, my friend Mark Weiss actually lives in Red Bank. So, okay. You know, and I've gotten to go up there And I used to go up and he's, you know, Mark Wise Guy Weiss is a really famous rock photographer. He did the cover of like Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet, and Cinderella Night Songs, and some of the Suicidal records. And, but he lives there. He lives in Red Bank. So I used to go and, you know, a couple times I went up there and hung out with him. If I have the Quick Stop, I smoked at the time. That was like the closest convenience store to his house to buy cigarettes. So I used to go there like every day. And, you know, and I got to go to like a bunch of the, you know, spots from Chasing Amy, and, you know, I've been to the Stash a million times. And, you know, the first time I ever went to the fucking Stash, you know, God, what was my mind? Tell him, Steve Dave, fucking,
oh,
Walt Flanagan was actually working at the Stash. You know what I mean? And I'm like, wow, how cool. You know, and the funniest story that I mentioned earlier, I used to hang out with Muse, and we were, you know, and it's funny. I'm always like, my life is this kind of perpetual weird fanboy, like, like holding back my fanboy urges. Like one day me and Muse we were hanging out in the afternoon, and we went to Blockbuster Video in Hollywood to go rent movies. We're going to go hang out and watch a movie. I don't know why. So we wandered around Blockbuster Video for an hour, like just on the phone. I remember he picked up a copy of Phantoms and bought it for Ben Affleck. And then I remember he was eating an ice cream bar. He grabbed out things and he was like, "Here, you want a bite, honey?" Like, Muse was the funniest motherfucker, yeah, man. I mean, it was, but just imagine me and Muse walking around like Blockbuster Video for an hour on our cell phones, trying to rent movies. And then it was so funny, but the whole family, we got to my car, and he was filling out the Blockbuster application. We're sitting outside, he's filling out the Blockbuster application, he didn't have a card. And I grabbed something, he goes, "You got something for me to write on?" I grabbed something out of the book, and it's the Clerks fucking comic book graphic novel. I'm like, "Oh, that's all I have in my car to hand the guy to write on?"
There was a period of time where he was filming something in Nashville. That was when he was like really strung out, and
he was really strung out too. This was like at the tail end of that. Yeah. Then he went back to New Jersey and got clean, and yeah, so that was right there.
Yeah, he was. I had so many friends that would you know, just like wake up and like Jason Mewes was on the couch. You know, like, what the hell? How did he get here? Like, who did he come home with? You know, he just wake up, and, you know, you'd wake up and walk out to grab a bite to eat or something. There's Jason Mewes just passed out on your couch.
I know. Yeah, it's funny. One day, the last time I saw him before he disappeared, man, and he, you know, but I guess Kevin kind of offered him some incentives. He said, "Look, if you get clean, we'll make Clerks 2 or whatever, yeah, we'll do all this stuff." You know, the last time I saw him, he was wandering around Hollywood Boulevard just in a fucking daze. And I'm like, "Muse." He's like, "Dude, what's up?" He was so high. And it was just like, it was crazy, man. And I'm so glad he got clean and got himself together. And, you know, and I'm glad he's got a good friend like Kevin who really, you know, helped him get his shit together. But dude, Muse is such a great fucking guy. But yeah, I got to see, you know, I've got to see a lot of my friends be in really dark places with drugs. Yeah, and it's been cool to kind of be there to help them pull out of it. You know what I mean? It's another purpose that I feel like I've served over the years, man. I'm sure you've heard this phrase about Corey Taylor and everybody else. And, you know, I just always, you know, am the guy there trying to be Jiminy Cricket. And look, I'm not fucking perfect. I've done plenty of fucking drugs in my life and plenty of dumb shit. But for the most part, I've led a pretty clean and sober lifestyle. You know what I mean? For the majority of my adult life, other than a few fuck up periods here and there, you know what I mean? But I'm usually, you know, always kind of the clean, you know, when I moved to LA, I was like, you know, I'd see these drunken idiots at the Rainbow. And I'm like, dude, I'm never going to be that. I'm never going to be some drunken moron at the Rainbow trying to do business and looking like an unprofessional fucking jackass. So that was kind of the motivation I needed to stay clean. And that and drinks cost like $15 a piece, and who the fuck can afford that?
Right. Yeah, the one time I got to play CBGBs, I walked up to the bar and I was like, "Can I get a, you know, I think I got like a PBR." They're like, "You know, $6 or something for a 12-ounce can." I was like, "Jesus Christ, no, thank you, not at all." But yeah, when I first moved to Louisville to join Primer, I didn't have cable, I didn't have anything. I just had like a crappy DVD player and like the Clerks animated series. So that's, you know, I watched those like 6 episodes just over and over, you know, listening to the commentary and then, you know, watching it just straight through and stuff like that. So yeah, the Clerks animated series is very dear to my heart.
Oh, me too. Me too. Like I said, the first time I watched it, me and Corey Taylor sat in my bedroom and watched it on VHS on repeat probably 6 times.
Just broing out on the bed with Corey Taylor.
That was it. was what we did, man. He goes, dude, we got to watch. Have you seen it yet? I'm like, no, I haven't. He's like, you have to. Let's go. We went, and it was on VHS. We went and bought it. I remember where we went, Towers, somewhere, bought it, went back to my house. And this was when I lived with the guys from Depth Swath. And that was, funny enough, the night that Corey decided he wanted to sign Depth Swath. You saw that night they jammed. Actually, another funny fucking story. That was a pretty eventful day. So we watched the Corks animated series. Then later, Depth Swath jams, and Corey watches them and falls in love with them. And Corey was actually pissed at me for like 10 years because we ended up doing a deal with Geffen. Corey wanted to sign him to Slipknot's label they were starting at the time. But it didn't even end up happening. Like, the label didn't even happen. But he was still mad at me.
He was still mad.
Yeah, I'm like, really? I finally saw him. I'm like, dude, are you really mad about that? Like, the label didn't even fucking happen. Like, you know, we got a great deal from Geffen. I mean, I guess. I mean, the band kind of fizzled out anyway. You know what I mean? They didn't, you know, Geffen didn't really do shit for him either. But, I mean, Slipknot's label didn't even happen, you know? But yeah, so, and then later that night, the first thing Corey said, that was when Slipknot and Limp Bizkit were having their feud, you know? And I had my Limp Bizkit Platinum Records hanging in my room, and he walks in and he goes, Biggie, tonight I'm going to break one of those. I'm like, no, dickhead, no, you're not. He's like, come on. He told me he'd been begging Ross Robinson to let him trash one of his, and he wouldn't let him. So I said, fine. Well, then you're going to replace it with one of yours. He's like, okay, fine, I will. And he didn't. You know, he fucking didn't. I let him destroy the thing. It was fucking hilarious. I actually just found the pictures. One of the guys from Depth Swath had the pictures that I just posted on Facebook a couple months ago. But so we basically took my significant other, like 6 times platinum plaque, just took a baseball bat to it, and then or an axe or something, I don't know. And then he taped it back together, and it was fucking funny. But yeah, that was a pretty eventful day, man. It all started with the Corks animated series. Me and Corey had some adventures, man. We really did. Like, you know.
Well, that's funny. I remember seeing those guys open for they opened for Cold Chamber and Machine Head at the New Daisy in Memphis, and they was like, you know, they were the opening band, you know, every other band backlined, and they were just like all 9 of them just like right up at the front of the stage about to fall off, and you know, the entire place is sold out. And then, you know, I think Cold Chamber was next, or Machine Head was next, and you know, about half the crowd left, and then by the, you know, closing band, you know, maybe a third of the original crowd was even in the building. So it was pretty insane seeing them kind of rise up, you know, out of nowhere.
Dude, it was. I mean, I saw them on Ozfest, the first Ozfest, when they played at 10 in the morning on the second stage, and I was there. And it's funny, because I was friends with some of the other guys, you know what I mean? I didn't even get to be friends with Corey until after, when they were making Iowa, was when I kind of met Corey, and we became friends. Like, I, you know, didn't even really know Corey. I knew Paul, and I knew, you know, some of the other guys, you know, and then I became friends with Corey later, and then, you know, we kind of broed down and had our, you know. Hey, dude, you know, it's funny. Like, I've actually never talked even about the Corey story on it in an interview, funny enough. It's never ever even come up, man. So.
Yeah, I remember we went to we had driven down to Birmingham to see them, and that was when nobody knew what they looked like. That was still, you know, that was still Kiss in the 70s. It was, you know, maybe that guy's in Slipknot, or maybe that guy's in Slipknot. You know, it was such a cool time, you know, just not seeing them and you know, not seeing what they look like in real life.
Yeah, dude, we drove to Vegas when it was during the week of Pledge of Allegiance, and he was staying at my house that week. And then we drove to Vegas for summer. It was for the Vegas show. They all left. He stayed in L.A. with me, and then we drove to Vegas. We were in some gas station in Barstow, and it was the week Slipknot was on the cover of Rolling Stone. And we were standing in a packed fucking gas station with the guy on the cover of Rolling Stone, and no one had any idea it was him.
Yeah, that must have been
great. It was awesome. It was really surreal. It was that. It was a Kiss in the 70s. And I still remember every time they'd take pictures, they'd hold their laminates over their faces or their hands. And I had so many pictures of those guys with, like, stupid laminates over their faces. And it was crazy. So imagine standing in the middle of a gas station looking at Rolling Stone with the guy on the cover, and no one has any fucking clue it's him.
That's got to be great for that. Had to have been a great time for them too, just to be able to do that, be able to, you know, have the fame and everything, but not have the paparazzi or, you know, fan.
Except, I mean, imagine trying to get laid. You had to like Vince, like, no, that's really me. Like, no, I'm serious. Like, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, but how many people do you think actually got laid trying to, you know, convincing them that they were in Slipknot and they weren't even in Slipknot, you know?
Probably. I mean, I think that actually worked for me a couple times.
That's me. I'm Corey Taylor. Look at my hair.
Right. No, I'm like a clown. Look at my body. But
well, that was going to be nice.
People have come up to me. When I Wes from Puddle of Mud, the last, 2 years ago probably, and this shouldn't surprise anybody, it's Wes, but we were hanging out one night, and the entire time he thought I was Paul Booth. And then I kept telling him, dude, I'm not Paul Booth. I'm Tom Hazard. And then by the end, I'm like, I worked for Geffen. I worked on your record. We used to hang out and do dumb shit together. And then he remembered, and then it was funny, but then I just saw him a month ago, and I was in L.A. At 4 in the afternoon, I run in with the Rainbow. He's fucking hammered already. No, later, this is 3-4 in the afternoon. And he's like, yo, dude, I got to get a tattoo. I'm like, I'm not Paul Booth!
Should have just gave him a tattoo.
Right.
Like, all right, let's do this. Yeah, man, he's going through some stuff right now. Every time you turn around, his whole band's just quitting on him mid-song, and it's a mess. I don't even know what's going on with that guy.
I don't know either. I can't even speculate, man. But I have much empathy for him, and I hope he gets the help that he needs. But, dude, you know, honestly, I've known him. Like, I met him when they were in L.A. making their first record when Fred just signed them. Fred signed them, too. And, yeah. You know, him and Danny Wimmer, who now runs Danny Wimmer Presents, and he used to work for Fred. I mean, now he does Rock on the Range and Carolina Rebellion, and, you know, and he, back then, he worked for Fred. He was like Fred's A&R guy for his label, you know what I mean? So it was kind of crazy, you know, but yeah, I mean, dude, I met Wes then, and he was out of his fucking mind then when they were making fucking Come Clean. He was out of his fucking mind. So, I mean, imagine that 15 years later. And you get the meltdown that is Wes Scantlin's life today. You know, and I love the guy. I consider him a friend, even though he doesn't know who I am half the time. But, you know.
He's like, man, that Paul Booth is a fucking awesome guy. I love that guy.
I know, right? Now imagine he runs into Paul Booth and goes, dude, I just saw you last week. No, you didn't. I had Paul Booth on my show a couple months ago, and I told him that. I'm like, I was hanging out to see him Puddle of Mud, and he thought I was you. I'm like, that's funny.
So fucking funny. All right, man. So what's going on with the label? What's some of the releases coming out right now? Pre-orders.
Green. Everything's out for pre-order now, man. Green Death just came out yesterday. Who are fucking awesome. That's a band that actually I met through Corey Taylor. They played Knobfest this year. I flew out there to go to Knobfest. I was hanging out backstage with Corey and his wife Stephanie, and all of a sudden he goes, "Hey, these are my friends from Des Moines, Green Death," and we started talking about Megadeth. And I'm like, "Well, it's funny. I just started a label with Dave Ellison." And I go, well, here's our CD, and I listened to it, and I called Dave on Skype in India that night. I'm like, dude, you have to check this band out. We signed them 3 days later, you know, and it was great. And then we have Dollskin, obviously, who are blowing up and doing great at radio. They're going out with OTEP. Their record comes out in 2 weeks. They're leaving. They just finished a headline tour. They're going out next week with OTEP, Lacey Sturm, September Morning, and Through Fire for 2 months, and then they're going out with Hell Yeah for a few dates, and then they've got some more headlining dates, and we just signed out even the Dead Love a Parade, which is Stevie from Drowning Pool's side project, which are fucking awesome. We haven't even announced that yet. That's getting announced this week, but you're getting the scoop here on the Talk To Me podcast. See, what else, man? We have Another Lost Year, who are fucking doing great. That's coming. We have the new Cage 9 record coming out. We have Rise in Chaos that David produced with Aru Lester, formerly of Machine Head and El Nino and a bunch of other cool bands. And that record's fucking amazing. We have the Chuck Mosley record. We have Semblant, who are this band from Brazil, who are kind of a cool Nightwish kind of band, but with a really amazing hot female lead singer. And they're fucking awesome. Like, their one video has almost 3 million views on YouTube. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Is that the band with the blue-haired singer?
That is her. Yeah, that is her.
Yeah, so I was watching that this morning.
There you go. But yeah, they're great, man. I mean, people are just, the reaction to them is just crazy. It's so great, man, because some of these bands like them and Dollskin, like, especially in Dave's fan base, they love them or hate them, you know? And I say, man, that's a good thing, because you know what? The best bands are always fucking polarizing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know who's calling me, but But yeah, you know, the greatest bands, man, they're always polarizing. They always, people either fucking love them or hate them. The bands, like, look at Five Finger Death Punch. Look at the bands that are huge. People either love them or fucking hate them. And you know, and that's a good thing, I think. It really is. And some of these bands like Semblant and Dollskin have been kind of polarizing, at least among David's fan base, because there are a lot of, you know, really super, this isn't metal, this is metal, this isn't real metal, you know, so fuck it, man. We put out what we like, and me and Dave both, I think we have pretty good taste, and, you know, everything we're putting out, people are, you know, reacting. You know, and we also manage Next to None, which is Mike Portnoy's son Max's band, and Everybody Panic, and we have Apollo Under Fire, which is Peter Klutz from Candlebox's new band, with Donald Carpenter from My Empire and Submersed, and you know, we got a lot of really cool shit, man. It's really a really cool label and a, you know, and a cool management company. And, you know, we've got a really cool umbrella, you know, of stuff that we're doing that's really exciting. And all the, you know, Dead by Wednesday, you know, their new record is it's actually a guest vocalist record. It's got Brian Fair on it, John Arch from Fate's Warning, AK from Flotsam and Jetsam, the singer from Paul from Diecast. I mean, it's literally all like 12 amazing guest vocalists, and that's a great. We have Hellstar, who are like kind of a classic thrash band that used to be on Combat. They're actually label mates with Megadeth at one point, and they're like a real cool traditional thrash. You know, got a lot of cool stuff, man. It's all over the place, from a kind of mainstream active rock to, you know, really progressive, you know, traditional thrash metal.
So between between Faith No More and now, what's Chuck Mosley been up to? I know he did some stuff with the Bad Brains, but
He did the Bad Brains thing for a while, and then you know, he actually just did it. He's done a couple, you know, shows with Faith No More. Got up with them in Detroit last year and did a couple of songs, and now he's going out and doing a solo tour. He's got some dates in May, June, July that we're announcing soon. And he's got Will Rappa for Hard Rock for Food. He put out that record in like 2009, 2010 that had like Jonathan Davis on it, and you know, it was really cool. And now he has like a version of that record that was kind of a more punk rocky demo version that we're releasing called Demos for Sale, and that's coming out in July. And that's up for pre-order now, too. And yeah, he's got some other really big stuff that isn't announced yet that you'll find out soon that'll blow your fucking mind. And, you know, Chuck's a great guy, but man, he really is. Like, I fucking love that guy.
That's great. Yeah, it's great to see he's doing stuff again, so it's always great.
It is, man. You know what? And he's really a great guy. And he's had some bad experiences and been led down some wrong paths. And, you know, again, he's had some issues in the past with personal stuff and substance stuff. And he's in a great shape, man. I love just getting involved with these guys and helping, you know, kind of writing them. And it just feels, you know, I've worked with so many people that, you know, one of my clients and best friends, David Riley from God Lives Underwater, you know, he was the reason I started Corporate Punishment, was to put out his solo stuff, you know, and it eventually got the best of him and he passed away, you know, and my daughter's named after him, you know, but it's like, you know, I, you know, it's kind of a passion of mine, you know, the anti-substance abuse thing and just helping pull people out of that. And it's kind of, you know, been something that I'm just a fixer, I guess, you know. I go in, you know, and Chuck's been clean for a long time and he's in a great spot and it's awesome and he's ready to go out and kill it and show everybody how awesome his new shit is and how awesome he is, and I'm proud to be a part of it, man. I really fucking love the guy, and you know, I love all my bands, man. That's one thing I've always done. Plenty of people talk shit and say what they want, but you know, I've always killed for my fucking bands and I always will, you know.
Well, that's definitely what people need in their corner, especially these days with, you know, the state that the music business is in. It's a pretty tough time out there.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even have enough time to talk about that. That would be a whole other show.
That could be part two.
Right.
And then part three will be our Clerks animated series,
right,
commentary track.
We have to do that. Why are we walking like this?
We're almost there.
Why are we walking like this?
I used to remember every word to it. Now I'm blank.
I'm sure if I put it on, it's one of those things. I'm sure if I put it on right now, I could probably, you know, mouth along with it, and you know, like the whole this is a bookstore with a smaller coffee store inside of it, with a smaller bookstore with a, you know,
like, the itty bitty coffee bar
with the coffee bar. Yeah, how the you know, they always talked about that show, you know, they were originally approached by like the CW or WB, whatever it was at the time, and, you know, they were offered like a crazy long contract, and they turned it down to go to, what, ABC, and ABC canceled it after like six episodes. Yeah. I think they only aired two of them.
Yeah, I was going to say only two of them aired. Yep. And then they put it out. It was one of those things like Family Guy that they put it out on DVD, and it took on a whole life of its own, and then it was... It was on Adult Swim or Comedy or Cartoon Network or Comedy Central. One of them picked it up for a while, and they were running them late at night, too. And, yeah, they were actually for a long time going to make a Clerks animated movie, too. I don't know what ever happened to that, but I wish they would, man.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the Kevin's View Askew universe. Yeah. I grew up with Mallrats and Clerks and everything else, so it's been fun, man.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm pretty sure I just told you before I went and stalked fucking the Quick Stop like a psychopath. So, I mean, I'm in that same boat, man. I mean, I just went there a couple months ago, and I took new pictures in front of the Quick Stop, and they took down the RST sign now, which is really sad. Wow. And I saw my asshole friend's mongrel from Massachusetts. I saw one of their stickers on the RST sign. I'm like, you dicks.
You motherfuckers.
You don't desecrate RST video. I'm not even supposed to be here today.
I've said that a ton of times when I go to work, too. All right, man. So am I missing anything? Anything going on that you need to get out there and let people know what's going on?
I think
Music, coffee.
We're doing a stage at Laconia Bike Week in Laconia, New Hampshire, which is the world's oldest bike rally, which is going to be awesome. You know, they have the headlining stage is like Ted Nugent and a bunch of other stuff that's not announced yet. And we're doing the second stage, and a bunch of our bands are going to be on it, and that's going to be pretty awesome. Other than that, yeah, just go check out our bands, empmerch.com, emplabelgroup.com. You can find us on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook. Go buy some Puck Hockey stuff. Buy yourself a Tom Hazard shirt, some David Ellison, and you can drink David Ellison coffee while you wear it.
Thank you to Tom Hazard for coming on the Talk To Me podcast. That was a blast. Hopefully you guys had some fun listening to that. Like I said, when I was editing this the other day, I was laughing my ass off listening to the two of us kind of banter back and forth about nonsense, about Clerks, and all that fun stuff. So hopefully you enjoyed that as much as I did. It was a lot of fun to make. Thanks to Tom once again for coming on the Talk To Me podcast.
Hey, this is Jim Brewer. And thanks for listening to the Talk To Me podcast. Not you, talk to me.
All right, guys, so here's the plan with the podcast. I'm going to attempt for the next few weeks to put out two episodes a week. I'm going to put out my normal Tuesday episodes on Tuesday. And then I'm going to try to do a special bonus episodes each Friday. I'm going to try to keep Tuesdays to musicians and then keep Fridays to other podcasters, business people, a lot of great stuff. So next week on the podcast, huge guest once again. On Tuesday, we have LaJean Witherspoon of Seven Dust. That was a fun conversation. Thoroughly enjoyed talking to him. And then on Friday, we have Ro Coley of War Machine Marketing. So a couple of great episodes next week. I just can't wait for you guys to hear them. So hopefully we can do these two a week for a while. And I'm going to keep up that schedule as long as I can. I'm just having a blast putting these together for you guys each and every week. So let's try for two a week for a little bit, see how that goes. And once again, you know, just if you want to shout out for sharing the podcast, hit that share button, hit that retweet button, and that will be truly appreciated. And if you listen to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatnot, go hit that subscribe button and rate and review the podcast. And I've actually got some iTunes reviews that I have neglected to read on the podcast. So if you guys have, if you guys leave a review on iTunes, I will gather a few of those up. And once I get a few together, I will read them on the podcast. So a nice 5-star review from Scott Bowling. Love that guy. Thanks for checking out the podcast each and every week. This one says, love the podcast. It's real, and Josh has all the best bands that I love from back in the day. Talk To Me is awesome. Thanks, Scott Bowling, for that great 5-star review. And let's see here. We've got another one. This one is entitled Blabbermouth, Metal Hammer, and PRP Know What's Up. That's a 5-star review by 183. Better than going through my old yearbooks, these guests and conversations that take place in each episode reflect the best years of my life. It is great to visit and reminisce about the good old days and observe where people are these days. I am excited for Toomey and the fact that he followed through with his idea to bring this podcast to life. Very insightful and entertaining content. Ooh, there's a more button. Oh, pfft. Cheers, brother. Yeah, thanks, 183. I believe that's Ben Ross. Thank you for sharing that wonderful little anecdote on iTunes. And then we've got one more from Social Alien, another five-star review. Thank you, Social Alien. I heard about the podcast on the PRP.com and checked out the interview with Barry Donegan. I love the fact that Toomey didn't just stick to music, but talked with Barry about his specialty, politics. I generally get bored hearing the same musician interviews about recording and gear. I like that part, but loved hearing about the musician's other interests. Keep it up, Toomey. I definitely will. And yeah, that's a lot of fun. And, you know, kind of looking back on episode one of the podcast, I mean, we're only at episode 38, but I think this podcast is leaps and bounds from where I started, you know, just kind of screaming and yelling into a mic and not really knowing what I was doing. And each and every week I get a little bit more comfortable and a little bit better at this. So thanks you guys for sticking around. If you've listened to the episodes, and if you're listening to this episode and you kind of go back, please go in reverse order and not just jump all the way back to episode one, because that episode one, man, I just threw that one together and threw it out there, and it's got that silly Toomey musical montage on it. And it's a lot of fun, but it was, you know, it's just completely raw. It's about as raw as a podcast you'll ever get. So thanks to you guys for throwing out some iTunes reviews. If you're listening on iTunes, leave a review, leave some comments, leave some ratings, reach out to me however you want. All right, guys, we're going to leave this podcast tonight with another EMP label group artist, and that's Dead by Wednesday. So we're going to lighten the mood, bring it down a notch. And I'm going to leave you and lull you into a beautiful sleep. This song is called The Surgeon. Thank you guys once again for listening to the Talk To Me podcast. Make sure you're hitting that share button, letting everybody know about the podcast. And until next Tuesday with my guest, LaJean Witherspoon, this is Dead by Wednesday. The song is called The Surgeon. Thanks you guys, and have a great weekend. Thank you.
In your name, we will take a risk.